I doubt if there is any problem, either social, political, or economic, that would not melt away before the fire of such a spiritual awakening. Just think of that. I was thinking about that when I read it. Can you imagine currently a speech being given telling us to look back to the Bible as a country? But we're not talking about the country right now. We're talking about you. And the speech should be given to you, and that's what we're talking about this morning. This is what you need to do, is push aside some of those things that have been holding you back, and we need to look and say, God, what is it that you want me to do this year? We're coming up to a new year. What do you want me to do this year, and what are some things that I need to have in place in my life so that I can experience success as a Christian? We've mentioned this in the last couple of months, or in the last month, in the last couple of services. Remember that trouble comes upon all of us. And with trouble, maybe that's what's coming in the new year, but you have to be ready for that, because God is in control of our lives if we're a Christian. Don't we believe that God controls things? Well, if so, then He knows what's coming, this new year, and He wants to prepare you for it. And it could be trouble, it could be a health issue, it could be a financial crisis. But it's for our betterment. And God wants us to be ready for this new year. And so this morning I want to look at a couple of items which may be included in our arsenal for the coming new year. God may ask of you a little more this year. He may push you a little more this year. And you may say, I don't think it's possible. But God says, no, I think it is. And you may want to have a pity party. But we need to stop, not have a pity party, and prepare for what God has for us. And I believe if we'll follow God, we'll see Him split a Red Sea. We'll see Him destroy enemies in our lives. And we'll see Him bring us to a promised land. And God wants that for us. But I think there's a couple of things that we can put in our arsenal. Look at in Exodus 14, look at verse 11. It says, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Now, isn't that silly? The Egyptians were killing their children. The Egyptians had put them in bondage, and now, because there's a little problem and the enemy is coming up, they're saying, didn't we tell you this? We wanted to be back there in Egypt in bondage. Wasn't it so good that our kids were being killed? Now, they didn't say that. It's not there in the text. But that's what they're saying. Now, isn't that kind of silly? And sometimes God comes into our lives and He's pushing us a little bit, and we say silly things and we act silly in our reaction to what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. But Moses says, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So what do we need? We're going to kind of put it in a military context this morning. Right? And we can imagine a sheath that you're putting your sword in. And so this morning, if we're going to be ready for a new year, I say that we need a sheath of courage. We need a sheath of courage. That's what Moses was telling the children of Israel. Hey, fear not. God has something for you, and you have to be willing to step up to the plate and do it. And God may ask at that of you this year, this coming year. God may ask of you something impossible. He may ask of you something more than you think you can do. Well, trust in God and have a little courage and go for it. Because God wants us to accomplish something. It says, they said unto Moses, there are no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? It was a lack of faith. The Hebrews here exhibited a lack of faith. And though God had led them up to this point, in the moment of crisis, their faith wavered. They feared God had forsaken them. And failure to trust God is the root of defeat. Failure to trust in God will lead you to a lack of success in your Christian walk. We have to have courage. We have to have the faith to trust God and have the courage to follow through with it. And I believe it's the book of 1 Chronicles. There's a story of Hezekiah. And in chapter 18, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, brake the images, cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and they called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not." What was the key for the king of Hezekiah? Why did God bless the king of Hezekiah? Because he claved. Did you catch that? He claved to the Lord. That means he clung to him. And this year, if you are going to experience God's goodness, if you're going to experience God's promised land, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have the courage to cling to the Lord. Cling to Him. There's an unknown author that made an analogy. Can you imagine the captain of a ship driven about by rough winds and desiring, because of these rough winds, he's desiring to drop anchor. So he's trying to find a suitable place to drop anchor. But he does this on board. So he goes to the bow of the ship, and he sets the anchor up there. You'd say, all right, this captain is very silly, because it doesn't do anything. Then he takes the anchor, and he puts it somewhere else on the deck. And that fails. He puts it in the hold of the deck, or of the ship. He puts it in the hold, and that fails. And you would stop the captain, and you'd say, you know what, that's silly. You have to put the anchor outside of the boat. And you see, anchor resting on the storm-driven craft will never do the job. Only as it is thrown into the deep can it be effective against the wind and the tide. And in the same way, if you are going to experience God's goodness, you can't be anchored in yourself. You can't have the anchor put on the bow of self-intelligence. You can't have it in the hold of inner self-determination. You can't have that anchor put there. It needs to be cast outside of yourself. And where does that anchor need to rest? It needs to rest in Jesus Christ, in our Savior. My anchor holds in the storms of life, doesn't it? Though our ship is tossed and driven, we can rest in Jesus Christ and we can have the courage to step out. And so the first thing that we must do, if we're trying to prep for a new year, all right, and my prayer and my challenge to you is to do this, is to be thinking this coming week about the new year. Take some time this coming week and say, God, what do you want me to get rid of? And what are some things that I need to take a hold of so that I can be victorious as a soldier for Jesus Christ? The one thing We said a sheath of courage. The second thing, look at verses 15 in our text. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And we can go back to verse 14. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You notice that Moses is directing them to rest in the Lord and follow his guidance. You'll see later that there was a pillar of cloud. And I think that in this, it's telling us that there is a word of the Lord that we can rest in. And so to go again with our idea of an arsenal, to putting some things together, and we're taking kind of a military idea, so we have a sheath of courage. I need to have a right set of maps. I need to have something that I can look at that gives me the right direction. Isn't that true? The children of Israel, what direction did they have? They had a pillar of fire by night, and they had a pillar of cloud by day. They could follow that direction, couldn't they? And you and I have the same thing available to us. We have a word of God that has been preserved. All right, last Sunday night, we watched a film that showed how the King James Bible was brought together. And we can rest upon it. We can trust it. I can build my life upon this word of God. But yet some of us, we cast it aside. And we're not resting on the Word of God. We flitter about to everybody else and try to get their ideas. We try to get a book. We try to get some psychologists. We try to get some therapists. We try to do anything but go to the Word of God. And from the Word of God, you can get direction. You can rest upon Him. We have a good set of maps, don't we? We have direction in our life. The lack of direction is a plague that infects individuals and churches. There are some people that follow anything. And so their compass is just spinning around. And so all of a sudden they're over here. And then all of a sudden they're over here. And all of a sudden they're over here. And all of a sudden they're back over here. All right, for instance, it's like watching a 3 or 4 year old run around a lake. You ever watched a 3 or 4 year old run around the lake? All right, sometime I just take a seat sometime while one of the 3 or 4 year olds are running around the lake, and you'll see that, especially the ones that are a little sanguine. Everything catches their attention. So here's a butterfly. All right, the road is this way, and they're running off over here. And then something, oh, look at that dog. All right, and then they're running over that way. And it takes them forever to get around the lake because they're zigzagging. Well, we're no different sometimes. As Christians, sometimes we follow everything. We follow anything except the Word of God. This person said this, so I run over there. This person said this, oh, I'm going to change and do that. And you wonder why you never get anywhere in your Christian walk. Because you flutter around and you're not focused. You have no direction, and our direction comes from God. Our direction needs to come from an almighty God. And we get that direction from the Word of God. The Word of God is here for us. There is a man named Ed McCauley. Ed McCauley found out this idea of direction became clearer as he drew closer to God. Listen to what Ed McCauley told his friend Jim Elliot. Ed McCauley was a law student before becoming a missionary to Ecuador. And this is what he says, and I have the quote here. Ed McCauley was writing Jim Elliot, and he said, since taking this job, things have happened. I've been spending my free time studying the Word. Each night, the Lord seems to get a hold of me a little more. The night before last, I was reading in Nehemiah. I finished the book and read it through again. Here was a man who left everything as far as position was concerned to do a job nobody else could handle. And because he went, the whole remnant back in Jerusalem got right with the Lord. Obstacles and hindrances fell away, and a great work was done, Jim. I couldn't get away from it. The Lord was dealing with me on the way home yesterday morning. I took a long walk and came to a decision which I know is of the Lord. In all honesty before the Lord, I say that no one or nothing beyond himself and the Word has any bearing upon what I've decided to do. I have one desire now, to live a life of reckless abandon for the Lord, putting all my energy into it. Maybe he'll send me someplace where the name of Jesus Christ is unknown. Jim, I'm taking the Lord at his word, and I'm trusting him to prove his word. It's kind of like putting all your eggs in one basket. But we've already put our trust in him for salvation, so why not do it as far as our life is concerned? Now, for Ed McCauley, that was his quote, that was his letter to his friend Jim. For Ed McCauley, living a life of reckless abandon was dead serious. And it was. At the time he wrote this letter, it meant leaving law school and dedicating his life to missions. And eventually, it led to martyrdom. So what is God telling us to do? To focus on him. Did you catch what Ed McCauley was telling his friend Jim? He was saying as he drew closer to God, what he was supposed to do became clearer and clearer, and God led him that way. And as you draw closer to God, and you will not draw closer to God without a strong relationship with the Word of God. The farther you get away from the Word of God, and that means this past week and this coming week, you ignore the Word of God and you will not get direction. You will not know what to do. But you draw closer to the Word of God, your trust and your faith will get stronger, and then your direction will become clear. Because that's how God works. This is what men of the Bible have always done. They could not have done this, though, unless they had the direction from the Bible. Direction from the Bible. They received direction in their lives. One boy lived in a house, and he saw a book on the shelf. It was dusty, so he picked up that book and blew off the dust. He asked his mother what the book was. The mother replied, "Oh, that's God's holy book. It's God's book." The boy replied, "Well, if it's God's book, why don't we return it to him, because nobody around here is using it?" Now, is that true in your life, in your house? God's book sits there, and it's never opened. It's never referenced. It's never studied. You never go to it for guidance. We need to have God directing our lives. Said that we're trying to put them together here for this new year. And we're giving you three ideas to help us, things to put on, so that we can have a new year. Be ready for the new year. We said we had a sheath of courage. We said we have to have a right set of maps. But you know, if I'm going to fight in the enemy, or fight against the enemy, I want a whole bunch of dynamite. It's just nice having dynamite, wouldn't you think? If I'm going to fight against somebody, and I got the sheath of courage, and I've got my set of maps, if it gets ugly, I just want to have a whole bunch of dynamite to just blow people up. Blow up the enemy. So I want to have, and what does dynamite represent? It represents what? Power. It represents power. But look at our text here in chapter 14. Look at verse 16. "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Look it down to verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to do what? To go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and waters, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, wouldn't you like to be there as as one of the children of Israel? Okay? If you can be there, maybe some of the kids, especially little kids, I'm always talking to my kids about not touching things. Okay, can you imagine taking your kids across? And most, maybe some of you have seen this, but I personally have never seen a Red Sea split. So it would kind of be new, and it would probably be new to my kids. And we say, don't touch things, because they're sticking their hands into the wall, sticking it out. Like, look at that fish. It's just a wall. But you're not going to experience any of that if you're not trusting God and trying to gain His power. God's power is available for us to win victories. God's power is available this year so that when something tough comes into your life, you can face it head on. Because God's there. God's power is available. The Egyptians, they experienced God's power. And there may be somebody at work, and they're unsaved, and you know, man, they are just hard, and they mock you, and they make fun of you. It could be family, it could be relatives, and they just have been hateful to you. Trust God's power. God's power, just like it can split the Red Sea, it can break a cold heart. It can smash that cold heart. It can melt it. And all of a sudden you say, how did that happen? I mean, now all of a sudden they're asking me about God. They want to find out about salvation. It's because God's power is available. It's not us. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by His Spirit. There was a man, a believer, that gave this testimony. His name was Max. He said, when my wife and I were first married, we were called to full-time service. God blessed our ministry. Many people accepted the Lord. Although our income was small, and we had very few worldly possessions, our hearts were full of joy. One day, Max came home, and his wife said to him, Max, there's nothing to eat for dinner tonight. He said, I didn't reply at first. I stood listening to the birds singing in the trees, and suddenly these words fell from a well-known gospel song. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And he said, this man says, if our Heavenly Father feeds the birds, surely He can take care of us. And just as he was thinking about, a lady knocked on their door. After introducing herself, she said, my husband was a hopeless alcoholic. Every time he got his check, he'd spend most of it on booze. He'd get drunk, and the children and I were often hungry because he had spent all the money on booze. Recently, he heard you preach the gospel, and the Lord worked a miracle in his heart. Now, he's a changed man. And for the first time in years, he brought home a full week's paycheck. It was all there. None of it spent on booze. I was able to go get a good supply of groceries. And she said, while I was cooking, she said, part of this, I thought part of this food really belongs to Brother Max. And so I thought, oh, I'll bring him some later. But God said, no, you got to pack some of that up and take it over right now. And she said, here's half of the chicken I fried. And here's some biscuits fresh from the oven. And guess what? Brother Max realized God is all powerful. God's all powerful. That's the God we serve. And if you say, you know what, I don't understand. I don't know what's coming up next year. I don't know what's coming up for you. I don't know what's coming up for me. But if we can rely on anybody, it should be God. And you can rest assured that God has the power and the capabilities to meet your needs. You got to trust in him. You got to rest on him and do his work and do his bidding and be obedient to him and step out in that courage, because God wants to perform mighty things. Many times we as humans forget that the power must be obtained in order to carry out the commands of God. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In Exodus chapter 15, the Bible says, who is likely, this is the Moses song after they came across the Red Sea. Look at verse 11. It says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinian. And what is the Bible telling Moses? After coming through the Red Sea, says, wow, what a mighty God we have. And this year, God may ask of you a lot. He might not ask something small. He may push you a lot. Well, learn to trust in him and step out in courage and follow God. Seek his guidance and trust that God has the power to accomplish what he wants in your life. Because he is a powerful God. He's a mighty God. And it should be that we stand at the end of 2014 and we look back and we lift our hands up and praise to God and say, what a holy and glorious God is the God we serve. Can you stand right now and look back at 2013 and say, what a glorious and mighty God? Well, if not, maybe there's something inside that as this New Year's comes, you need to toss out the window. And then you need to take on some other things. And we need to put them in our dwelling place so that God can use our lives to accomplish something good. I close with this idea. Some of you remember back, I think it was in the 80s, there was a quarterback for the, I think it was back then, the Oakland Raiders. His name was Ken Stabler. A reporter visited the locker room of Ken Stabler. Stabler wasn't really known, I can remember seeing him, he wasn't really known as being an intellectual. Not too many football stars are. But he was a good quarterback. And this newspaper man, I have no idea what overtook this newspaper man, but he read him poetry. Now, I don't know if he was trying to just give him some class, but this is what he read him some English prose. He said, I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than that it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy, impermanent planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. Now, you can imagine, here is this quarterback in his locker room just after a game, staring at this guy, quoting English prose to him. And then the newspaper man says, "What dost thou think of this?" Maybe not that way, but he said, "What do you think of that poetry?" Ken Stabler looked at it, looked at this reporter, and he said, "You know what that means to me? It means throw deep." Throw deep. Now, as a quarterback, what did that mean? Take a risk. Go for it. Go deep. And that's what I think sometimes God is asking us. Did you notice what Moses said? Moses came to the children of Israel and said, "Go backward. Now go forward. Go forward. Go deep." The Bible in our text is telling us to go forward. Don't just exist as a Christian. Challenge yourself spiritually. Pray about it this week. Make some goals and say, "God, spiritually, challenge me, push me." Because God wants to split the Red Seas in your life. He wants to destroy the enemies in your life. He wants you to go across and see the Jerichos and the Ais defeated. He wants you to go forward. But you got to have the courage, and you got to have the map, and you got to trust in His power. God has all of it available to you. Are you going to trust Him? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. And I know it's cold outside. I know it's a dreary looking Sunday. But it shouldn't be in our hearts. God wants you as a Christian to move forward. So take some time. It may be God challenged you and said, "You're not taking the time. You're not looking forward." Then you need to, at the invitation, come forward and say, "God, deal with me. Help me this week to push forward. Help this next year of 2014 to be stronger for me spiritually." You ask God. God's dealing with your heart. You use the altar and make a determination to do that. God will bless you for it. If you're not seeking His guidance, God's guidance is there. In the children of Israel's time, during the day He had a pillar of cloud, at night He had a pillar of fire. And in today's time, you have the Word of God. And you can trust in it. God, help us in this coming year. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your guidance. We thank You for what You do for us. And Lord, I ask that this morning You would deal with hearts. Bless the invitation, Lord. There's some, Lord, that You've been dealing with. I pray that they would come forward, decide to challenge themselves this year spiritually. Lead and guide them in the right way. Lord, help them to seek Your power. It's there available for them. I pray that they would avail themselves of that power so that they can be successful. They can defeat things that the devil is throwing at them, that their flesh is longing after. They can defeat those things. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if God dealt with your heart, you come forward as the piano and organ play.
Lord, we've been challenged now, Lord, to grow and to do right and just to make a new start, Lord, as we approach this new year. Lord, we pray that you just use this message to work in our hearts, Lord, that we would truly have that desire to have victory in our life, victory over our sin, and that we would grow and we would be pleasing to you. Lord, we just pray that we'll take and apply this message to our hearts, Lord, that you might bless us and we might even be a joy to you. Just bless us now, we pray now as we go about our day, that you'll be with us. We pray, Lord, that each of us will come back this evening with an open heart again to hear your word and to be challenged, and not just to be challenged, Lord, but to carry through and to just grow in you this coming year. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.